Our host needs no introduction.
His name is...
A name so simple it rolls right off your tongue.
His name is James... No, his name is... James Lawrence! Lawrence! Lawrence!
Try again.
Forrest Lone... Lars! Lars!
Go!
Chuck Jaffe.
Yes! 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 We're like this!
I'll say it again so you remember, okay? This is Money Life with Chuck Jaffe.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Please do not overdramatize these proceedings.
And now, here's Chuck.
He's one in a million.
He sure is.
And all I can say is wow, because this is Money Life for July the 14th. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. We are going to reward you for that effort with a fabulous show. Now, first things first, I owe a little apology to one of our guests. Well, actually, a couple of our guests. The Hightower Gang, Matthias Kuhlmeh, David Bonson, and David Molnar. Because they were supposed to be on the show yesterday, and I somehow whiffed on this.
Bugger! Bugger!
I knew we had to replace Bob Powell this week. Bob is traveling, and I was so focused on doing that, I wound up messing up the dates.
Come on, buckethead!
So, Matthias and friends were supposed to be on yesterday's show, but they were good enough, after I basically messed that up, to be here today, which I appreciate more than you or they could really know. So, I whiffed on that, and it just totally escaped me.
I can't help feeling that there's been a big mistake.
No, I didn't. Like, I didn't feel it at all. And then I was looking at everything for today, going, "Wait, I replaced Bob on yesterday's show. I would have to do it." Oh, yeah, that was bad. But it means that you get Matthias and friends today, and they're going to be talking about what they're telling people to do in the second half of the year, given the fact that we were discussing Brexit last week and some of the headlines. They're going to be talking about how you might want to deal with those headlines. So it's a good follow-up. And I kind of like what we've been doing, where we have been going sort of every other week with Matthias and friends, kind of looking at an issue 1 week, and then the second week, in most cases, with that same group, we come back and say, okay, how does this affect your clients? Like, let's first get the opinion out there, and then let's ask the question, how does this come down to brass tacks? So, Matthias Kuhlmeh and the Hightower Gang, they will be a little later in the show. We start the show with Tom Lydon and the ETF of the week. Tom, traveling as he is right now, he's actually able to join us today, which is great. We follow that with Spencer Jacob. He is deputy editor at the Wall Street Journal, the guy who oversees the Herd on the Street column. Unlike me, for example, while Spencer is certainly a journalist of some renown at this point, he started as a stock analyst, and that is actually something that comes through in his book, which is a very good, very fun, very informative read. So Spencer's book just came out this week. We'll have a chat with him. That's our big interview. Then, like I said, Collective Wisdom from Hightower Global Investment Solutions. And then the Money Life Market Call is with Craig Hodges from Hodges Small Cap. And that fund has been absolutely sort of killing it. Well, for a long time, it has been killing it, I guess, is the right way to look at it. If it depends on how far you want to go back, you can always, you know, sort of cherry pick your timing. But if you cherry pick your timing and go say, let's go back to 2008 when the market tanked, well, the fund, you know, at that point has done exceptionally well. It's done really well over the last 5 years. Year to date, been struggling a little bit within its category. We'll talk maybe with Craig about that as well. So that's our lineup. It should be a great show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm Chuck Jaffe, senior columnist for MarketWatch, the host of Money Life. We're going to have that kind of a day?
Ah, darn it!
the host of Money Life each and every weekday. Money Life is independent personal finance talk. You know that what we're about here is about helping you, to borrow a friend from a phrase from someone else who's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks talking about a book. We're hoping to teach you how to fish. We don't want to give you a fish. We don't want to say, oh, yeah, go buy this. Even though we talk about buys and sells and, you know, the ETF of the week, we want you to learn what goes behind it. And that way you can make portfolio decisions that you are truly comfortable with. If you can do that, then you can ride out whatever's happening in the market. So we can talk about the market stuff and you can listen and go, wait, this is something I want to plan for. This is something I want to guard against. This is something I don't want to worry about so much. And that way, you know, there's what we talk about all the time. There's interesting and then there's important. And you can be a news junkie, and Lord knows I am, but interesting, let's talk about it, is not always actionable. And unfortunately, most of the news media and most of the shows out there are always about trying to put things into action, usually because somebody has something to sell. Well, I don't have anything to sell you. Can't buy a newsletter. My columns are free at marketwatch.com. I don't manage money. You can't hire me to be your financial advisor. And whether you use or do not use, whether you follow or do not follow any of the people who are guests on this show, it's up to you. Couldn't care less. Because it doesn't affect me. And it doesn't affect what I do. That's why we say it's independent personal finance talk. We'd love for you to get more involved. Obviously, we're happy you're here today. But follow us on Twitter at Money Life Show, at MKTW Jaffe. Send us your questions, your comments, your picks for Hold It or Fold It. We'd love to hear from you. Chuck at MoneyLifeShow.com. Tell your friends about us. All right, let's get busy. Again, it's a great show, so why would we hold off and waste any more time? It's Money Life for July 14th, which, by the way, was always in my family, one of my grandfather's birthdays. He's been gone for a long time, but still remember fondly and just sort of can't get that out. It's like, you know, it's the grandpa's birthday edition of Money Life, I suppose. But under any circumstances, I hope you have something better and more fun to do on the July 14th around living the money life. But right now, we're going to live the money life. Our lineup again, Tom Lydon to Spencer Jacob, then Matthias Coolmay and friends, followed by Craig Hodges from Hodges Small Cap. We'll start things off with the ETF of the week when Money Life rolls on in just a moment.
Customize an investment portfolio with FlexShares, ETFs designed to pursue targeted goals and to adapt to changing market conditions with both equity and fixed income solutions. For more information, go to FlexShares.com.
Well, I don't favor talking to vermin, but I'll talk to you just this once.
Exchange-traded funds are the investment world's new frontier.
Better listen.
But with so many choices and styles, the ETF world is a bit like the Wild Wild West, filled with new issues and ideas, but fraught with the same old dangers of investing.
If you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
Every Thursday, Tom Lydon of ETF Trends comes to Money Life to tell us about one ETF that is wearing the white hat right now.
Take it easy. We're the good guys.
He'll point out the good, the bad, and the ugly as he tells you which investment is worth taking a shot on.
That's good shooting.
And names his ETF of the week.
Wild West.
Tom Lydon's here, and of course, that means it's ETF of the week time. Tom is the editor at ETFtrends.com, a site that you can get a lot of information on exchange-traded funds. It's not just the stuff we talk about here, and it's not just the trend-following things that Tom is famous for. It's pretty much everything that is newsworthy happening in ETFs. You can also go and follow them on Twitter, at ETF Trends. Tom is on Twitter. He's at Tom Lydon. But right now, he's here. Tom, welcome back to Money Life.
How you doing, Chuck?
I am doing well. Our ETF of the week is
the Pure Funds Junior Silver Miners ETF, SILJ.
It's the SILJ, the Pure Funds Junior Silver Miners ETF. And, you know, Tom, I love it when you go into places where my sounder bank can help. So,
I am silver!
Why are we going with silver right now? Silver at one point was pretty beaten down. It's rallied hard. So does that mean we've gotten above 200-day moving average on silver and that makes it a buy? Or is there more here than just the timing play on things?
Well, you're absolutely right. It was the ugly stepchild for a long time, Chuck, but it's come back. And in fact, this ETF is one of the best performing ETFs in 2016. So there are a couple things. First of all, we're starting to see a little bit inflation kick in. We saw value in silver. We're seeing a lot of hedge money come back in to the precious metal space. But most importantly, the pure demand for silver, because it's not just a jewelry or a precious metals play, it's also a play as far as industrials. So chemicals, medicine, technology, appliance companies, semiconductors, solar panel industry buys silver. There's a lot, obviously, within the auto industry as well. Just the pure demand has helped really boost the price to the point where it's performed a lot better than gold year to date.
Is that sustainable? Because the problem with precious metals is that typically around the time that folks recognize what has been happening and go, hey, I want to jump on it, that's when things turn.
Right. So when we look back, you know, 5 years ago or so, when gold and silver were at their highs, silver was over $50 an ounce. Now it's just touching 20. So it's still not anywhere near where it was back then. It has come off its lows considerably. But also from an economic standpoint, a lot of the things are pointing in the right direction. Stability and really the idea that gold and silver are, in many people's mind, its own currency. When more money's coming back to the dollar, that's another thing to take in mind. But most importantly, as emerging market countries continue to do well and continue to experience long-term growth, their citizens, as they move up the economic cycle to the middle class, some of the first things that they buy is jewelry. And they do that, you know, not just for status, but also to help preserve their wealth. That is a big impact on the overall demand for both gold and for silver.
Why not put some of that money to work for you with the high yield only investing in gold and silver can bring?
We often ask, why not put it to work in gold and silver? But you're putting it to work here with junior silver miners. If silver has all the things going for it, why are you deciding to go with the mining companies instead of holding the metal or an ETF that invests entirely in the metal?
That's the kicker. Not only is silver and gold spot going up, but you're seeing that the miners in silver and gold are going up. And now junior silver miners are probably the smallest members of that ecosystem. What goes on is when demand picks up, those big mining companies actually come in and they'll scoop up some of the smaller players. I'm not saying that this is an M&A play, but to some degree it is. They're actually a little bit more nimble. So if the price gets to the point where it makes sense for them to go back into the ground and pull it back out again, it's quicker for them to make these types of decisions. So here's a play where it's not just a play on the price of silver, but it's also an equity play to some degree. It is extremely aggressive. It's not for the faint of heart. This is nothing that you do with your serious money. It's something that you can use a 200-day average from a tactical standpoint, and if you feel that silver is going to continue to move for an extended period of time, you surely can play SLV, the spot silver ETF, but here's a way to be a little bit more aggressive if you're looking for a trade.
It's the Pure Funds Junior Silver Miners ETF, ticker symbol SILJ, the ETF of the week, and a really interesting pick. 200-day moving average, yes, but a lot of other things there behind it. Great pick, Tom. Really interesting stuff. I hope we get a chance to chat with you again. I know you're traveling, so enjoy your time off, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Chuck.
Tom Lydon, everybody. He is the editor at ETFtrends.com. You know what we feel about the site here. Why don't you go visit it? You can also follow him on Twitter. He's at Tom Lydon. Follow ETF Trends while you're at it, at ETF Trends. All right. We're off to a great start on the July 14th edition of Money Life, but a great start demands a lot of follow-up, and we have great things coming, I promise. So if you stay tuned and you don't touch that dial, you'll be rewarded right after this message.
When it comes to managing your financial portfolio, Hightower's advisors don't limit your access to proprietary financial products and services, a common Wall Street practice. At Hightower, you get unobstructed advice. Visit HightowerAdvisors.com to learn more about the Hightower difference.
It's time for the big interview.
What is going on here? I demand an explanation.
The big names, the big news, the biggest stories, the next big thing. What's the big deal? It's the big interview.
It's the big stuff.
You talking to me?
Who do you think you are?
We have a big show for you tonight.
Money Life brings you the big thinkers, top experts, the brightest minds.
I don't know how to put this, but kind of a big deal.
And plenty of time to swim in their brain fluid.
Oh, my.
So listen and learn and enjoy the big interview.
The eyes of the nation are on us right now.
Whatever. Fun will now commence.
Well, today we're going to have our fun talking with somebody whose book I think is going to be the next big deal. I love this book. It's a great read. It's called Heads I Win, Tails I Win, Why Smart Investors Fail and How to Tilt the Odds in Your Favor. Now, you're going to hear some stuff here that, hey, if you're a strongly active investor, you may wind up disagreeing with or what have you. But I can promise you, even if you disagree with this stuff, we always say disagreement makes a market. This is a book you can learn from. If you want more information, it's all linked up at the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page, where you'll find Spencer and a copy of the book cover. Or you can follow Spencer on Twitter. He's at Spencer Jacob, Jacob spelled J-A-K-A-B. Now, I should also point out, Spencer Jacob is the deputy editor at the Wall Street Journal responsible for Heard on the Street. And you might hear editor and you might think, well, that's like Chuck. He's a columnist or what have you, et cetera. Spencer actually was a stock analyst. As opposed to me, with no skills, Spencer actually had the skills to do a lot of this stuff before he came over to the journalism side. And that's one other reason why I particularly like the book and that perspective that it comes from. Spencer Jacob, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you.
So, I love the book and where it comes from. And I guess the big thing to me is, you know, as you look at this, Wall Street has a tendency to have very smart people who spend most of their life trying to outsmart themselves. Is the moral of the story that, like, hey, the lazier, easier, maybe dumber in some perspective money is actually the money that's going to wind up winning?
Yeah, I think the evidence is very strong that, it's that money that wins, and that the people who are, well, I mean, look, they're people who know to be cheap and lazy about their investments, and that's a minority, unfortunately. And they're people who are too intimidated by the process but save money, and they wind up doing pretty well, too. It's the people who are pretty smart, and that's why I hope that people after this interview or after they read my book go and look at their finances and really figure out how they've been doing. Because, you know, you survey thousands of people and you ask them two questions. Do you think you're a better or worse than average investor? And then you say, how do you think you've been doing? Give me like an annual return over the last 10 years. And, you know, just like anything, driving, looks, whatever, people are going to say, you know, rate themselves on average a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10. And they'll say, you know, I made whatever, 9%, 10%. They'll guess about 7 or 8 percentage points higher than they actually made. And that's unfortunate. But it's smart people, specifically, if it makes them feel better, who tend to shoot themselves in the foot the most often, by being active.
Explain for folks, heads I win, tails I win. 'Cause, you know, as a general rule, I have always loved anything that involves a coin flip, just because it is one of the most basic, you know, the gambler's fallacy that goes behind coin flip thinking that gets most people wrong. But explain for folks where you came up with this and how you're using that analogy and tie it through the whole book.
Well, okay. Think about, you know, you gamble, you go into a casino, you know, do you want to be lucky or do you want to be smart? If you're gambling a lot, you'd sure rather be smart. You'd rather have some kind of an edge playing blackjack or poker or whatever, because luck will run out. You know, most gamblers lose money, which is why the casinos look so nice. Investing is the opposite of that, in the sense that there are long run returns to be had. So you do win in the long run, but compared to the potential long run winnings that you could get from investing, most people get a fraction of that, less than half of what they should be earning. And I'm talking for a typical saver, hundreds of thousands of dollars less at, you know, at retirement age than they should have, with no exaggeration. And it's because they do things that are dumb. They not dumb, but they do things that are counterproductive. They pay too much. They're active, and it's little imperceptible death by a thousand cuts type things. When really it's a winner's game, and then they sort of shoot themselves in the foot. And I, just to get back to gambling, another analogy is like it's like a poker game in a casino, and not like a poker game in your buddy's basement. It's like a casino because the casino takes a, if you've ever played in a casino, they take a cut of every pot, which is like the slow drain of what financial services companies and mutual funds and whatever take out of your savings. It's almost invisible, but it adds up. And the money gets redistributed, and most people wind up losing, and a few people wind up winning. And the 80% of people who wind up losing are the most active investors.
Yeah, I always try to explain the trick is making it that once you get ahead, you've got you should keep house edge for yourself and stop playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's and you do have the house edge. I mean, that you don't. I can't tell you, unfortunately. I can tell you what I don't know. I don't know what Apple's going to do tomorrow. I don't know what the markets are going to do. But I can tell you that the long run returns have been very good. And so it's a long enough range of market history that I can tell you that, you know, leaving your money in the market, not fretting about it. You know, it's kind of it's a winner's game and may not be exactly like the past, but it's a pretty good deal, you know, if you can save money and let it sit there and not mess things up.
We can spend a lot of time talking about what people do wrong and what have you, but I actually want to give you a chance to perhaps sell the book a little bit more. And by that, I mean, one of the things that you've got in this book is a couple of different reliable strategies mm-hmm. that, you know, if you're a retirement saver, for example, this is really going to help you out. This is going to be something that is going to multiply your savings by a significant factor.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a couple of them, so we don't have to give them all away so people can understand they still need to buy the book. But let's get into the specifics. And what of those, what's the one that you think like, hey, folks, come on, if you at least do this, you're going to increase your savings by a factor of X. And oh, by the way, you know, you're not going to make yourself crazy in the process.
Right. So one way I call it, you know, making lemonade out of the market's lemons. I mean, if you look at, let's say you look historically, and there's lots of data on why people are not very good investors in aggregate, you can actually pinpoint the months where they did the most damage, where not individuals, but millions of individuals all together by looking at this data, right? And they almost all come during pretty bad times. But you would think, yeah, of course, they come during bad times because the market crashed, you know, and I lost money. And that's how you lose money. You know, you're in the market and darn, I should have gotten out. But the opposite is actually true. You do lose money like everyone else does. If you're, you know, even people who are just passively in the market in a September 08 or a March 2000 or an October 1987, on paper, you lost money. But the greatest amount of the gap comes in from not benefiting from the market's resurgence in the sense that let's look at a period like the 3 months where unemployment keeps rising during a recession until its peak. You know, things are really bad. That's the worst of the worst time. If you held stocks just during that 3 month period for all the 14 recessions going back to the 1930s, you would have made something like seven times your money in 3.5 years. You'd have made a fantastic, fantastic return. There's no period of returns as good as that. And so how do you reap that? Well, you don't. There's no market timing strategy that I can give you. But the timing strategy I can give you is a mechanical one where you basically reallocate on a more regular basis and do it mechanically. So take all cognitive bias out of it. Set a date. Do it then. And you'll be going against the grain, and you'll be a contrarian and also reducing the volatility of your portfolio at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, as you point out, it's something that you can make it happen and just stick to the plan. And then the only thing you have to worry about at that point is whether or not you short circuit the plan.
Right. And there are other things that I do mention, there are, I mean, there are techniques. And I mention these at the end of the book, and I do it for a reason. I mean, there are things that you can do. You know, they're packaged as, and you and I had a conversation, you know, several weeks ago about this on a different podcast about smart beta. You know, there's things like smart beta. There are things like fundamental indexing and value and whatever. You know, those things are all available to you, too, and they have been shown to give you an edge of maybe half a percentage point, maybe a percentage point over the years. A percentage point is a lot. These days, if you get an extra percentage point, I mean, added up over many years, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's tremendous. However, all those gains go away if you, you know, you can buy smart beta but make dumb choices by trying to time it. But those and that's why, you know, that's why those things continue to work, because people lose patience with them. If you are very patient, very mechanical, if you recognize your human shortcomings, and they are human shortcomings, we all have them, then you will be able to take advantage of these techniques, and the gains are really tremendous over the long run compared to what you've probably been doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And for folks who want to know, that is the podcast that Spencer was talking about. That's the Financial Food Fight, which I sort of promote because I'm on it pretty much every Friday. Sometimes Spencer is my guest or joins me as a guest there. I've been very happy to have him as a guest here. Spencer, thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The book is Heads I Win, Tails I Win, Why Smart Investors Fail and How to Tilt the Odds in Your Favor. It's out just this week. If you want more information, go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page. There's a link there. Follow Spencer on Twitter. He's at Spencer Jacob, J-A-K-A-B. All right, we just hit the halfway pole on today's edition of Money Life, but that means we're just picking up speed. So settle back and relax, and don't you dare touch that dial. We're living the Money Life, and we'll be back to it in just a moment.
PowerShares provides a different take on traditional asset categories while providing advisors and investors with innovative investment opportunities. For more information, go to PowerShares.com. Invesco Distributors, Incorporated.
When it comes to investing and managing money, there is no one right way.
Of course, people do go both ways.
Ultimately, you and your advisors will make shared decisions to determine the path you take.
It appears we share the same passions.
Welcome to Collective Wisdom from Hightower's Global Investment Solutions, where Hightower advisors look at key situations facing you and help you see how discussion and analysis can lead to ideal decisions. Yes, it's time to get smart and put our heads together. And make the best decision for your situation.
Well, we always want you to make the best decisions, and that's why you listen to the show, to get different opinions and a wide range of approaches and opinions on investing. Well, that's also what you get from Hightower Advisors, because at Hightower Advisors, well, they're based on a system of collective wisdom, where they don't say, hey, you work for us, this is what you believe, this is what you have to do with your clients. Hightower instead works with a wide range of advisors who bring their own experience to the mix, and then works with others so that they understand what other advisors think and come together to best serve clients. For us on Money Life, it's the only time we talk to more than one advisor, and they all happen to be from Hightower, but again, they aren't drinking the same Kool-Aid. If you want to learn more about the Hightower difference, HightowerAdvisors.com, on Twitter at Hightower, A-D-V-S-O-R. Hightower is a sponsor of the show. Joining me now, Matthias Kuhlme, Managing Director and Partner at Hightower, Head of Global Investment Solutions. David Bonson, Managing Director and Partner at the Bonson Group at Hightower in Newport Beach, California. And David Molnar, Managing Director and Partner at Hightower San Diego. Here's their respective Twitter handles. At MoneyClip Blog for Matthias, at Bonson Group HT for David Bonson, at HT San Diego for David Molnar. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show. We're heading into the home stretch for the year. It's second half. We haven't gotten yet to second quarter earnings. We've got the Brexit that we have talked about a couple of times in past segments. We've got an election looming. So, Matthias, we'll start with you. When you look ahead at the rest of this year, what do you see happening, and what are you telling clients? This is what you react to, and this is what you watch without reacting.
Chuck, in order to look ahead, let's just go back a few weeks or months and look at the beginning of this year. And you mentioned it, Brexit. Both events were reminders that, in my view, very significant volatility has been bottled up, and that investors in the years to come, this year and years to come, I want to be precise, will have to get used to, number one, lower nominal and real returns, and two, in my view, a far more challenging volatility regime. So a few observations over the last weeks, I think, that will guide our investing process in the future for the remainder of the year. We have experienced a very significant down spiral in sovereign bond yields, especially in Europe. Think of Germany and the 10-year Bund showing negative yields. To be very clear, someone is paying the German government to hold their debt. This is never, never, and let me say for the third time, never a good environment, and kind of reminds me almost of the after Lehman-style market. So in my view, leading up to the U.S. elections and possibly even past this point, investors are better off to focus on reducing risk or manage it very well. At the same time, significant dislocations, and I want to go back to Brexit, you used it as an example, of capital through volatility have occurred, and they bring good opportunities to the active stock picker. This is a stock picker's environment, not the pure beta play environment. So in very short summary, plan, manage risk and volatility, don't try to beat a benchmark or number, but execute a very personal objective plan.
Let's turn this over to David Bahnsen from the Bahnsen Group. David, when we last talked, you were saying how the Brexit was sort of the Y2K event of this decade or perhaps this generation. So what do you look out at and think might be something you actually have to plan for, think about, and react to?
Well, the biggest thing that will impact markets for the foreseeable future is the same items that were impacting markets well before Brexit. And that was, in no particular order, but exactly the central bank environment that Matthias is referring to, and particularly the negative yields, the highly deflationary and debt-ridden economies in Western Europe and Japan are struggling with. I think the other factor would be the inevitable reckoning that China faces, how they go about moving into a slower growth environment and probably at some point experiencing a harder landing than they've experienced thus far. So when we look at the global environment, what we see taking place with central bank distortions, low, slow, and no growth out of Western Europe and Japan, we think that at some point, the U.S. earnings also suffer. They've slowed to some degree, but most of that slowness that is talked about over the last 12 to 18 months has been in the energy sector. And ex-energy, the earnings have not really been impacted that negatively yet. But we think that as global conditions worsen, it likely leads to a U.S. earnings slowdown, and no question, a tricky environment going forward, the biggest tension of which is the assets that are flowing into the perception of safety, this telecom, consumer staples, utility sector and equities, and this stocks as a bond surrogate theme that we're seeing play out right now, we strongly feel will not end up ending well. That's what we're watching for clients.
Which brings us to David Molnar from Hightower San Diego playing cleanup today. And David, we talked last week about how you also felt that the Brexit would be a non-event, but you had been perhaps more surprised that it got passed. If it's a non-event, are you concerned about the same things as your partners? Or you, who have always sort of been very strong on the domestic markets, are you a little more optimistic that, hey, we're going to get through the rest of this year, through the election, et cetera, and not upset the apple cart?
I'm not sure about that. I think sitting from here and batting cleanup, as you say, I can pick a couple of comments or points from both of my partners here, and I'll probably disagree a little bit with some of their statements, and then I'll try to thread the needle and explain where we stand on this. I think because there's a little bit of agreement that we have, obviously, here as well. Our view is that the same uncertainty that existed, similar to what David said, before Brexit still exists today. So nothing's really changed from that standpoint. I don't think that the market regime that we've been dealing with for the past 18 months is going to change in the next 6 months. So we expect the market will continue to be volatile, will continue to be influenced by central bank actions, geopolitical risks and events and concerns externally, i.e. China earlier this year, maybe fallout from Brexit later this year, the U.S. election later this year. These are things that are going to come into play. However, I'd be careful using analogies like Lehman, as Matthias did. I don't think that we can draw parallels and say that it's the same, that we're, I think when people hear Lehman Brothers, they think that we're, you know, going to have an 08-09 crisis and a 50% decline in the markets. We certainly don't expect that. However, I do think we'll see more bouts of downside. I think David brings up an interesting point. Utilities, staples, and telecoms leading, it's not necessarily a recipe for success. On the earnings front, the S&P earnings are expected to decline 5.3% year-over-year for Q2. That's going to be the first time the index has been five consecutive quarters negative since Q3 08 through Q3 of 09. So, I don't think you can strip out a sector and say, well, the earnings are fine except for energy, or the earnings are fine except for pick your sector. You know, I think we got to look at it holistically. So earnings are not great. So with that as a backdrop, I think volatility, but we're ready to buy on dips and sell, you know, or raise cash when markets are high. So at S&P 2100, we hold some cash. At S&P sub 2000, we're interested to be buyers again. So that's kind of how we're approaching this back half of the year. Expect volatility, low returns, earnings picture is not great, geopolitical uncertainty remains, and until we resolve some of these issues with finality, we're going to be stuck in this period for a while. That's our view.
Interesting, because some agreement, some disagreement, and you can see how that plays out both with your thinking and with how you're dealing with clients. You've been listening to Collective Wisdom from Hightower's Global Investment Solutions. My guests, and I thank them for being here, Matthias Coolmay, Managing Director and Partner, Head of Global Investment Solutions for Hightower. He's at MoneyClipBlog on Twitter. David Bonson from the Bonson Group at Hightower in Newport Beach, California, at Bonson Group HT on Twitter. And David Molnar from Hightower San Diego at HT San Diego on Twitter. Hightower, for more information, is HightowerAdvisors.com online and at Hightower ADVSOR on Twitter. The market call is next, so stay tuned. We're living the money life, and we'll be back in a moment.
Independent and advisor-owned, Hightower ensures that best-in-class financial product and service providers compete for your business every day, a groundbreaking model that's making waves on Wall Street. Discover what Hightower can do for you at HightowerAdvisors.com.
It's hard to know what to do next in the stock market.
Where am I? What am I doing here?
That's because one expert's rally is another's prelude to a correction.
Of course, people do go both ways.
One manager's buy is another man's sell.
Have you come to any conclusions yet?
Each day, the Money Life Market Call brings you a different expert's take on where to invest and what to avoid.
Now listen, Gravehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Just as important, you'll find out the reasons behind that thinking, and that should make your next financial decisions easier and smarter.
We do have a system, and it works.
It's the Money Life Market Call. Now.
The only reason we're here is to make catty observations and rude remarks. And there was nothing good on TV.
Well, there's never anything good on TV, at least when it comes to really serious talk about money and markets and how you should properly invest, because they don't give you enough time and they cut out all the things that you really need to know, which is how is somebody coming up with their decisions. We don't do that here on Money Life. And that's why when we talk to somebody like my guest, Craig Hodges, well, you get to find out how a top money manager is actually making decisions. And then you can factor what they're doing into how you look at the market. Craig Hodges is the portfolio manager for the Hodges Small Cap Fund, among others. He's part of the Hodges Fund team, so he's involved in multiple funds. Hodges Small Cap is HDPSX, but if you want to learn more about that fund or any of the other funds in the Hodges family, go to HodgesFund.com. Craig Hodges, welcome back to Money Life.
Hey, thank you, Chuck. Glad to be on.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. And my audience has come to learn that Hodges means sort of straight talk about stocks, whether it was your late father or whether it's Gary Bradshaw, some of your other colleagues, Eric Marshall. We always love to hear from the Hodges team. But we can't assume that everybody in my audience necessarily remembers how Hodges does it. So let's start on methodology, because you have a very specific way of looking at things. So tell us what you look for and then how that translates to what you're going to be buying or selling.
We try to keep it here at the Hodges Funds. We try to keep it as simple as possible. We look just at stocks. We don't concern ourselves with, you know, all the interest rate talk or the, you know, the Brexit talk or all that. We just look at stocks, and we just look at U.S. stocks. So it cuts out a lot of the pitfalls that can get you. We've got a 7-person research team and 3 portfolio managers, and we make about 3,000 company touches a year. We want to know as much about companies as anybody out there, and then basically we try to find the best companies that are in the best industry and buy them and own them and you know, not rent them, own them. And through thick and thin, you know, basically by capital appreciation and, you know, the management team's taking care of shareholders, that's how we do well.
Well, it's funny you mentioned thick and thin, because you are willing to ride with things and wait for them to pay off. There's always, your father used to say, he, you know, if there's a good story and the numbers to back it up, that was the kind of thing that he liked. When you could sort of say, yeah, I've got a good reason to hang in there. As a result, like, you have great 5-year performance. And for example, Hodges Small Cap, one of the top performing funds dating back to 2008 and the turn of the market. But relative to peers, it has been rough this year. So I'm curious, is it the one of these cases where the market is kind of out of favor with you, or you're kind of out of sync with the market, or is it more just like specific stocks right now that are holding you down?
It's a really easy explanation. We rarely try to play defensive issues. You know, we're looking for opportunities for growth, and we have been in a market this year and even the last really year and a half of a very defensive type market, people playing more defense than offense. And, for example, the Russell 2000, which we're slightly lagging for the year, has a lot of utilities and a lot of, you know, kind of phone kind of companies that have kind of boosted or boosted that index. But we're very pleased with how we are set up. We have a very low multiple, much lower than the Russell 2000, but yet our growth rate is much higher. So we're paying less and getting more, but yet not playing as defensive of it. So maybe during an easy time like the last 18 months that we've been through, we might slightly underperformed. But for the 7 years after 2008, like you mentioned, we were the top performing, not just small cap fund, but we were the top performing fund of all funds, you know, in the United States. And so I love how we're positioned, and, you know, I feel like as the market gets a little more of its footing underneath it, that we're going to really outperform, because that's, you know, our 55-year history of this process and stuff shows as such.
So with the process right now, what's the classic example for you of, you know, here's a Hodges stock that meets our needs and is the kind of thing we're buying right now?
Got it. You know, we're looking for things that aren't exposed to Europe. You know, no Brexit, you know, issues, no international exposure, little or no currency risk. And, you know, those are mostly U.S. companies. You know, there's some industrial names that have been hit hard because of their association with energy. You know, things like a La Quinta that's in the hotel business that has 25% of their hotels in Texas. People think Texas is going under because of the energy business, which is not true. I think there's good upside there. A company like JCPenney's, it's in the middle of a gigantic turnaround. And we think eventually it's about a $9 stock, $8.5, $9 stock. We think it could earn $2 in earnings a couple years out because of the refinancing and some of the things they're doing that they've been doing wrong for the past few years. We think that could be a $20 stock on $2 earnings. So there's a lot of opportunities that we don't think are being recognized by the market that we don't even think you have to have a lot of risk to them. We just think it's just a matter of time.
But I'm curious. So here in my audience, hears you talk about La Quinta, that's LQ, JCPenney, two stocks that you could argue, you know, have plenty of trouble on their plate. admittedly, you're hoping that they've digested it and will continue to digest it. You're willing to go into, you're willing to step into that danger zone, but you're not going to step into any danger zone that's foreign and affected by Brexit.
Yeah, because we did this deep dive, laser focused research, and when we look at a situation like Penny's, it is very obvious to us that they're in the midst of this turnaround, and they don't even need sales to go up to make this turnaround. They're, by refinancing and selling off their headquarters like they're doing, and putting these, going with some more appliances, and they're getting 10 times the revenue in the appliance areas that they're being replaced with. I mean, there's a lot of really easy things. That thing, when they brought the guy in from Apple, the guy named Johnson, he totally alienated their customers for about 2 years. The stock went from, you know, the 30s down to the single digits. The turnaround is not that difficult. And they really just, by just restructuring some things, are going to become profitable again. And like I said, I see a very easy path to $2 in earnings. If they earn $2 in earnings by the year 2017, 2018, that'll be a $20 stock. The stock will more than double. And it's not even a stretch. So we're much more easy to control things like that than we are, you know, what's going to happen to interest rates or what's going to happen to the dollar versus the pound, and, you know, what's going to happen in Europe and, you know, all those sort of things. And so we're much more comfortable, like I mentioned, through our 50-year history of dealing with these type of environments where human interaction can come in and change the prospects of a company as opposed to something you have absolutely no control over.
So what is the sell discipline for you? Because here you are buying stocks where you like the story. You're obviously willing to hold them through thick and thin. What's the sell discipline, and what's something you've had to move away from?
We have to see within an 18-month period, a catalyst for that stock to go up. And if it trades at a discount for what they're going to earn, you know, we'll buy it. If the story changes or if our assumptions are wrong, we'll immediately get out of that stock. But as long as the path continues and they're following through on the things that we think that will happen, we'll stay in it. Now, when the stock becomes expensive, or when the stock becomes popular, or when competition comes into that to the space because of the company, then we will automatically get out of them. But we love industries with high barriers for entry that are hard to get into, hard to duplicate, and where there's no copycats. And so there's a lot of these industries that are out there right for the picking.
Well, now we're going to find out if anything that my audience likes happens to be in those industries. It's time for Hold It or Fold It.
Play Hold It.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
Yes, it's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, Craig Hodges, portfolio manager for the Hodges Small Cap Fund. That's ticker symbol HDPSX. If you want more information on the fund or any of its sister funds, go to HodgesFund.com. Now, Hold It or Fold It, well, you know what it's about if you listen to the show regularly. But everybody tells me, everybody who's ever participated tells me, it's more fun when they participate directly. So send us your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in. For stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, closed-end funds, whatever you're interested in, send that to Chuck at MoneyLifeShow.com. We'll add it to our list, and hopefully it'll make it into an interview soon. Now, one guy who sends us long lists of stocks and funds occasionally is Joe in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And he wants to know about Ascena Retail Group. That's ASNA.
Ascena Retail, I like that stock. In fact, it's a stock that we own in the Hodges Small Cap. They own like these Justice stores and these Ann Taylor stores. It's one of the few retailers that I see positive same-store sales, and so buy on Ascena.
Okay, so one of the few. Well, we've talked about JCPenney, which is another. And Ascena, now Ascena hasn't had the troubling period. It's retail itself, you sort of dislike. It's the specific. Again, this is that case of Right. Let's find the stock specific.
Right, and you have to be very niche-y with retail. There's a lot of things that are really struggling and I think will continue to struggle. But there's certain niches out there, like the shoe business, or like older women that have a little more discretionary income, or if you're in the right area with teens, where they own this Justice,
there's some real opportunities. And so you have to be very stock specific in your retail selection.
And the specific stock we were discussing was Ascena Retail Group, ASNA. That was a buy.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
Joe in Colorado Springs also wanted to know about Ring Energy. That's REI.
Like Ring Energy, one of the low cost drillers in the Permian Basin, which is the lowest cost shale play out there. Stock trading around $8.5, $9, but that is a buy.
Okay, so that is a buy on Ring Energy, ticker symbol REI.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Our next request comes from Dave in Beaver Dams, New York. He wants to know about a stock that, well, I might as well disclose it while we're asking about it. It's a big piece of my personal portfolio. It's Coca-Cola, which is ticker symbol KO.
Coca-Cola, great company. I'm not crazy about the stock. You're seeing declines in the amount of soft drink consumption. It does pay a decent dividend, but I think it's a more of a defensive play and not an aggressive buy. So I would say more sell than buy.
As somebody who's a shareholder, from the sounds there, it's not an aggressive play. You would sell it, but you would understand why somebody else might hold it.
Absolutely. I don't think you're going to make much on it. You're going to make the dividend, and you might get slight appreciation. But there's companies that are as defensive that I think have upside, you know, right, like an International Paper or some, you know, things like that. So it would not be one of my favorites. But it's a great company. Don't get me wrong.
No, there you go. So we're talking about Coke. And that's our soda sounder. Yeah, that's perhaps our sell sounder. That was a sell on Coca-Cola, ticker symbol KO. By the way, buried in there was a buy on IP, International Paper, if you were following along. Next, for Kirk in Huntsville, Alabama, it's Entravision Communications Corporation, EVC.
Interesting company. Diversified media company serving the Hispanic markets. There's a competing company, Univision, that's scheduled an IPO. It's been delayed a lot. I would buy Entravision because the Univision IPO will bring more value to the already publicly traded Entravision. Buy Entravision.
That would be a buy on Entravision, EVC.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
And last, for Mark in New York City, it's a stock that is near and dear to you because you're down in Texas, and so is Southwest Airlines, the airline that Love built, its ticker symbol LUV.
We love, love. I would be a buyer of Southwest Airlines. They've not lost money in over 45 years of business. Tremendous track record, and they're actually expanding into Mexico and some Latin American countries, into Cuba, possibly into Hawaii. So it is a growth company that trades at a discount price.
So much of the story for the airlines is there have been periods where the airlines, nobody wanted to own them. Now, of course, you have great fuel prices, et cetera. But is there a worry, an overarching worry? You know, you mentioned everything but fuel prices, which tells me you're not worried either that they're going to go up or that when they do, it's still going to be a great company.
I'm not worried because all these airlines spent about 5 years reshuffling their structures to get used to $100 oil. And so when oil got cut in half or more, it's been a real bonus. Now, if we got $100 oil, that's a different story. But I think we're a long way from that.
So it's a soft landing for Southwest Airlines. That's why it's a buy on ticker symbol LUV.
Bye, bye, bye. Is that all you can think about?
Well, all I can think about right now is goodbyes, because I have to say our goodbyes to Craig Hodges. He's portfolio manager for the Hodges Small Cap Fund. Craig, it's always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much. I hope we get a chance again before the year's up.
Thank you, Chuck. Always love being on your show.
Remember, if you want to learn more about the Hodges Funds, go to Hodges Fund, singular, HodgesFund.com. Okay, did you catch the one or two stocks in there that we've talked about with other guests? I did. I'll tell you whether Craig agreed or disagreed with some of those folks as we wrap up the July 14th edition of Money Life and then send you on your way. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this message.
Looking for alternative ETF strategies? Direction provides separate and distinct audiences with flexible investment tools to manage risk and execute short-term strategies. For more information, go to directionshares.com.
We're back on Money Life. I'm Chuck Jaffe, senior columnist for Market Watch, host of this show every weekday. Thanks so much for joining me. That was fun talking to Craig Hodges. And we actually talked in the break a little bit as well. So we got a minute to talk about Coca-Cola. Now, the last time Coca-Cola was discussed on the show, it was Jeff Oxshore from the Oxshore Focus Fund. It was a couple of months ago. And I believe it was a sell then as well, but I know that the biggest holding of the Oxshore Focus Fund was PepsiCo. So it wasn't like, okay, I don't like buying soda, or I think people are moving away from it, or what have you. But I can't remember for sure if that's... I remember that Jeff owned PepsiCo, and I swear it was sell Coke, buy Pepsi, etc. Now, Craig Hodges and I were talking in the break, and discussing the fact that, yes, I do own Coca-Cola. It is my largest individual stock holding. And that was true both before and after the divorce. And it is now, of course, I have rules about, you know, I'm not allowed to make any new moves for 15 trading days after something's discussed on the show. So, for example, if I wanted to follow his advice and sell Coca-Cola, I couldn't, at least for 15 trading days. But I don't necessarily want to follow his advice. That has more to do with the fact that I have a single digit basis on Coca-Cola. I bought my shares ages ago. I was buying when Warren Buffett was buying. When most people didn't know who Warren Buffett was when I started buying Coca-Cola. And the truth is, when you have a single digit basis on a stock that is, you know, trading for like $45 a share, you're looking at big capital gains. A mutual fund manager doesn't have to think about those things. They, as Craig said, there might be better opportunity elsewhere. By the way, he picked on International Paper, which we haven't had anybody talk about, but one of our recent requests was from Tom in Louisville that had come in. There you go, Tom. Without actually having somebody address your request, we got a buy for you out of International Paper. But to me, this is one of those cases of what happens with a fund manager versus you managing your own money. And there is that spot where the rubber meets the road. Like, are you going to take somebody's advice? Okay, I can agree completely with the idea that there might be something better. But Coke has a 3% yield currently. My yield effectively is much higher because basically I have much less into the shares and I've got so much appreciation. So I have to make a decision that actually factors the taxes in. Like, if I can replace it with something, is it going to be something that I can actually use to replace it, that it will be better after I pay the taxes on it? And that is a decision that, you know, managers aren't going to talk about. They don't worry about, most of them, unless they're telling you they manage for tax efficiency. They don't manage for tax efficiency. By the way, JCPenney had been discussed on the show by Brian Yackman, who I believe had it as a sell, which is interesting because he's a value guy, and Craig Hodges, who is less of a value guy, wants a little more growth in there. He had it as a buy just now, which was interesting. Love, Southwest Airlines, that's a buy. Chuck Carlson had it as a buy, and so I believe did Rich Maroney. So, of course, Rich and Chuck both work for the same company. Perhaps that's not a surprise. Tomorrow on the show, Bill Smead from Smead Value. He's always fun. Can't wait to do that. So hope you will be here. We'll have that and much, much more. I want to thank my guests from today. Of course, that includes Craig Hodges, but also Spencer Jacob, the Hightower Gang, and Tom Lydon. I want to thank you for being here, and I want to thank Rob Floyd, my producer, because he is essential. Today's Money Life quote of the day comes from Steve Jobs, who said, "I think money is a wonderful thing because it enables you to do things. It enables you to invest in ideas that don't have a short-term payback." And, you know, that's another way of saying, hey, until we do this again the next time, the best thing you can do for your money is not worry about short-term payback. That's right. Not worry too much about your money. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, folks. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The opinions expressed on Money Life are those of the host and guests only and reflect their personal thinking. They are not to be taken as representative policy or strategy of the organization that the host or guest represents. This show is a production of Money Life Radio, Inc., which retains all rights to its content. This broadcast, either in part or in its entirety, may not be retransmitted, reproduced, or rebroadcast without the express consent of Money Life Radio, Inc. This show is an informational service only. The information here is not to be considered a direct and personal recommendation for any individual to make a specific financial decision or transaction, but rather is meant as an informal resource to help investors make informed decisions. Always consult your financial advisor, accountant, or attorney before making any major financial decision. The information provided has been obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable, but is not guaranteed for either its accuracy or completeness.
When I say go, run out the side door.